Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here with another Reality Game Masters exit interview. And in today's episode, we are going to talk to the winner of Reality Game Masters, a man who is no stranger to winning of late. Yes, John Cochran will be joining us here to talk about his big victory on Reality Game Masters. Now, Steven and Sophie, the second runner-up and the runner-up respectively, or did I get that right? I don't even know. Steven's the runner-up. Sophie is the second runner-up, the silver and bronze medalists. I'm not going to be talking to them in this interview. If this was Survivor, I'd probably have them on the same call in the same podcast as this. Unfortunately, our publicist was not able to get a hold of both of them today. It's actually Steven is out of the country right now, so I'm hoping that at some point we can catch up with Steven and Sophie to talk Reality Game Masters. So we're just going to talk to Cochran here today in this interview. In other news this afternoon, we had the Big Brother 15 cast dropped on us, and so everybody's all excited about Big Brother 15. We will be having a Big Brother preview podcast this Friday night. I will be talking with Brian Lynch, and we will go through person by person everybody in the Big Brother 15 cast, getting you ready for Wednesday night's premiere, and we will also be live after the Big Brother premiere this Wednesday night to talk about everything that happens in the Big Brother 15 premiere. So with that in mind, let's turn back to Reality Game Masters and let's talk to the winner of Reality Game Masters. I see that he is with us on the line. And Cochran, are you there?
I am here, Rob.
Oh my God. Wow. What a hot streak you are on, my friend.
It is pretty remarkable. I mean, I had the Survivor win in mid-May, graduated from law school not a week or two later, and then moved out to L.A. with a hot sitcom writing gig. And perhaps most exciting of all, here I am, the undisputed game master in the reality world. And it has been a pretty good month and a half for me.
Whoa. Who's having a better 2013, you or Macklemore?
Me, I guess. I don't even know that much about Macklemore to make that many jokes, but I imagine me, because I'm dominating in like all aspects of life right now.
He's hot.
I don't know. Macklemore is, I guess, top in the charts. Is that what he's doing?
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. But Cochran, I can't believe it. A big swerve. Everybody thought Stephen Fishback had it in the bag.
Yeah, it was fun reading those YouTube comments, especially the last couple episodes. Oh, you know, Steven has it on lock. There's going to be, you know, it's all his. You know, it shows not to underestimate me or not to underestimate the extent to which the end game of Risk is entirely based on luck. it was a fun ending, especially given kind of how what a weird position I was in for at least the very beginning of the game, where I was kind of just being a little bit of a pawn by all the sides, and then to emerge the winner is, you know, perhaps you know, funny or it's cool. It's a cool experience for a first time Risk player to emerge as the greatest Risk player of all time.
Well, I think there was some I assume, you know, a lot of people felt like you were, at least from watching the video, felt like you were faking, that you really were a shark at Risk and you really did know what you were doing, and that you were feigning that you don't know what you were doing.
I sincerely didn't know what I was doing. The one thing that I think I vocalized my ineptitude more than I needed to. I think that was slightly strategic. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing, but I didn't need to constantly say I didn't know what I was doing. But I nonetheless did say that to really emphasize how, much of a non-threat I was. So no, I'm no Risk shark. I still don't completely understand the rules. The fact that I was colorblind didn't help. I didn't know.
Yeah, talk about that, because I think that's been very underreported the whole way through. But I didn't know this about you, that you were unable to differentiate the color of the pieces for most of the game, right?
Yeah, that seems like a pretty big disadvantage to not know which pieces are your own, which are your opponents, which are your allies. And that's something I had to grapple with the entire game. It ultimately, you know, wasn't that huge of an impediment, I guess. But it necessitated that I ask a lot of clarification questions to say, okay, is that Matt's piece right now, or is that mine? And then, you know, that only kind of reaffirms my reputation as a complete loser at the game, which maybe it helped me in the long run. Maybe being colorblind, even though I initially viewed it as a handicap, maybe it helped me.
I think it did help you in a lot of ways in the game that you, you know, had the air of, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm sort of, you know, whereas a lot of the other players like knew exactly what they were doing, seemed like they were really targeting other players in the game. You were much more, at least in the first half of the game, asking, so what do you guys think I should do? And because you were sort of in the middle, kind of like, you know, as somebody would be on Survivor, neither side really wanted to mess with you, because if they went after any of your armies, then you would not want to side with whatever side was attacking you. So you really went through most of the game without anybody attacking you at any point, and you sort of were able to get Africa unchecked and nobody bothered you.
Yeah, and that was not, I would say that was probably 30% intentional and 70% just a consequence of me really not knowing what I was doing. And maybe it parallels Survivor Karamoa. And you could say that nobody voted for me the entire game because I was such a non-threat. Or you could say it's because I was playing such a good game and presented myself as such a non-threat that I was just used as a valuable tool throughout the entire thing. I don't know. But it ended up putting me in a very good position in that, you know, why target me? There's always a much bigger target, and I was always used as a tool to get rid of one of those bigger targets. So I set myself up pretty well, regardless of whether or not that was by design.
And, you know, similarly, and I didn't really think of it at the time because, you know, the Reality Game Masters was filmed in April. You know, basically, if you kind of look at it like with Eric Stein is sort of like Malcolm, you sort of have like a three amigos, and probably not too often does anybody make an Eric Stein and Malcolm comparison. But you had Eric Stein really antagonizing Steven and Sophie so much that they were really, really focused on them. And there was so much of the Big Brother versus Survivor back and forth that you were able to be under the radar up until the point that it was just the survivors left.
Yeah, and I'm actually curious whether, you know, some people have bashed the Big Brother players in the Risk game for how they played. I'm curious whether that's all Eric Stein's fault. Maybe if Eric Stein hadn't been there to bring down the other Big Brother players and become the figurehead for the, you know, obnoxious three-headed Big Brother monster, maybe there would have been some cross-show alliance building or at least acting on those alliances. But no, you're right. I think that's a pretty fair character.
It was very acrimonious from the get-go between Stein and Fishback and Sophie. It was really like from you know, the moment that the game started, it was very, yeah, like got very, very tense.
It was tense. I mean, even like, you know, Eric would say something and the audience that was there would laugh, and it bothered me, but it certainly bothered Sophie and Steven even more. There's kind of like, why the hell are they laughing at what he's saying and not laughing at what we're saying? And you know, rattling off joke after joke, and maybe it makes Jill insecure. Maybe it just annoys us. I'm not sure. But you know, he definitely was the source or you know, the center of a lot of attention at the beginning that resulted in a lot of tension. Not to use two words that sound so similar, but
yeah,
no. Eric was a big player there, even though his time and the game was relatively short.
Yeah, he was killing it in the room. And yes, Sophie and Steven were getting agitated the more that people laughed.
Yeah, and I just remember like Andrea's laugh in particular, even for some of the crappier jokes, it really killed Sophie. and yeah, Sophie just hated the Big Brother people. That's the thing. I think all the hatred was really being, you know, was caused by Eric. Not to say that he's deserving any of this hatred, but I think he pissed off Sophie so much, but then she just viewed all the Big Brother people as horrible. Like, you see her little interview, she says the Big Brother people are like disgusting idiots or something like that. I think that's because she thought Eric was a disgusting idiot, but then she generalized, and it made our Survivor group that much stronger.
Now, it was reported earlier in the summer, like right after the season ended, that you were going to be writing about Big Brother for Entertainment Weekly. Has your new job, and I don't think I've publicly congratulated you about this, as a writer on the new upcoming CBS hit show, The Millers.
You're already calling it a hit show. Yes. Before it premieres.
Yes.
That's good.
until proven otherwise, that show is a hit. Yeah. So, Are you still going to be writing about Big Brother this summer for Entertainment Weekly?
Yeah, it's something that I had to, my work schedule is obviously a lot more demanding than I thought it was going to be when I initially agreed to that EW thing. I'm not going to be doing the regular recaps like 3 times a week, but I am going to be doing a weekly kind of report that I'm not sure when it's going to come out. I think it might be every Monday, but I'm certainly still going to be writing about Big Brother for EW, and that's going to be fun. And I just saw the cast announcement today. It looks like it's going to be a fun group of people. 100 days of summer, got Rachel's sister in the mix. But yeah, I will be writing about it, but not the traditional recaps.
Okay.
I'm going to be working too late, and then it's the West Coast airing. I'm not going to be able to watch it until later. It'd be a headache, but I will be writing stuff.
All right, and now you have experience that you've beaten 3 Big Brother players at Risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's good. No, and by beating Eric Stein, haven't I, like, conquered America, too? Like,
yeah.
If you beat Eric Stein, then I defeated America.
Although I think Eric has disowned his relationship with America after they steered him wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or did they disown him? I don't know.
one or the other. How about your relationship with Sophie? Did it feel good at all to knock Sophie out of the game after Survivor South Pacific?
I did take a little bit of pleasure in that, especially because it was weird playing with her. It was kind of like being back on the island. I adore Sophie. I mean, she's probably one of my, she no, not even probably, she is one of my best friends that I've made out of the whole Survivor experience. But I have to say, playing Risk with her again, it was like kind of like South Pacific Sophie reemerged. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is why I didn't vote for her to win $1 million. I'm not gonna, you know, I want to knock her out of this. So I probably did enjoy that a little bit. Although she, you know, there was kind of a sense, and I don't think Sophie was being disingenuous when she said it. There was kind of a sense that if one of the three of us won the game, that it would be, we'd all be happy. And I think I would have felt that way. As lame as it is to say that, there was kind of a like, let's get rid of these Big Brother losers.
Now, Sophie, in her confessionals, she called you a weasel in the final episode, in the finale. Did you take any offense to Sophie calling you a weasel?
I don't know what I did. It was so weaselly. I basically obeyed her every command for the entire first, like, two-thirds of the game and then voted her out. Or eliminated from the game. I don't know. It didn't hurt my feelings because I know that in real life we are very good friends.
Yeah.
Her medical boards and she's doing well. So
she basically said, she said, Cochran, he's a weasel. He'll always be a weasel. she seemed very offended.
I mean, whatever. If I'm a weasel, so be it. What is a weasel? Like, I understand the insult, but like, what are the characteristics of a weasel that are so unsavory?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen a real
around?
One. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? Does it look like a lemur? Like, I feel like it's a kind of a tubular furry animal, right? Like a mix between a squirrel and a lemur.
Very cute, I think.
Or
a
ferret? Maybe. Yeah. Like, cute. Maybe that's what she was saying. She was saying I'm very cute.
All right, we have so many questions from our listeners. You've really captured the hearts and minds of the audience here. Let's start with Matt Mormon. He wants to know, what's the greater accomplishment, winning Reality Game Masters or Survivor?
Oh, easily Reality Game Masters. I mean, no question. To win a board game I've never played before against some of the most, esteemed reality TV contestants of the last 10 years is incredible. I'd only enjoyed Survivor for like 13 years or something, but to win a board game that I'd never played before, that I still don't fully comprehend, that really is something spectacular.
Yes.
So, no, RGM all the way.
Okay. Tony Westphal wants to know, were you thinking about your answer to Eddie's jury question when you won, when you had a hot woman on either side of you?
Who are these hot women? Oh, RC and...
yes, the esteemed... Well, first off, Andrea Belkey and the esteemed Miss Survivor 2013, RC St. Amour.
I was thinking of that, but I could not reveal that because my finale had not yet aired. One of the things that was weighing on my mind out there because I was, I think I made some reference to, Ian and Sophie are going to be threats because they're winners of their respective shows. But, I was definitely thinking of... My answer to Eddie, wouldn't that have to be 2 women under each arm? I can't remember.
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's
a lot of women.
So I was halfway there.
Yeah.
Well, then I spoke nearby, and then I don't know who else was there. Nicole Sesternino, I'm sure, was
she had left so long cool. before that.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. People don't have this. There should be a real-time time lapse thing on the court, because that took like 11 hours.
Yeah.
That was like an excruciating experience.
Yes, it was very much
an exhilarating one.
Yes, very much like an endurance challenge in the conditions on Reality Game Masters. Okay, Alex Kuntz wants to know, which BR rule was the most instrumental in your win?
Which BR rule? Probably, I think it was one of the first ones that Philip rattled off in episode 1 or 2 of Karamoa. It was something like have an alliance and have an alliance within that alliance. So I had my alliance with Steven. And I mean, this is not like a joke answer, I guess. I had Steven and Sophie, and then within that I had Steven. Maybe, I don't know whether I was Steven's, you know, genuine number one guy all along, but for me, I felt that that was sincere. So, BR rule, I think that's number 2? 1?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Landon Chambers wants to know, had Steven and Sophie been more or less condescending towards you since your victory in Reality Game Masters? Have they started to treat you better now that you are the official, you have beat them on the battlefield?
Oh, they treat me with nothing but respect now. I mean, they defer to everything I say. They basically worship me. And it is strictly because of Reality Game Masters. Because they play, like, board games together. Like, Steven has, like, board game night. I think on the Survivor finale night, they actually all got together and played a board game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to be invited to those because I know I'll destroy them every time. I don't even need to know what the game is or what the pieces involved are or be able to differentiate between the colors of them. They're just in awe of me. It's more like reverence than respect. It's just kind of like, you know, how you would treat a god, I guess.
Yeah. Alex Photopoulos wants to know, did you feel like you set the bar too high for yourself now to appear on Reality Game Masters All-Stars?
I mean, now that I kind of understand how to play the game, I don't think I'd be able to play as well. Because I would get 2 in my head. I'm worried about an RGMAS, which I'm guessing the acronym would be. I don't know. I think this year has set the bar too high for me. That's why I'm never playing Survivor again. I'm never going to play Reality Game Masters again. But I'd be happy to be like a correspondent or something.
Have you officially retired from Survivor?
I won't play again. I also think contractually, I don't think I can play again because now I work for CBS. I think once you're a CBS employee, you're banned.
I think there's some wiggle room there. I'm sure there's been people that have gone back that have worked for CBS in some capacity.
Yeah, well, I'm retiring. I mean, I can't. I really have no desire just because I'm not going to do as well, and then I'm going to regret it. And it's like I beat myself up over that sort of stuff when I don't perform as well as I want to, whether it's on like a test in school or, you know, Survivor, I get very upset and it's like unhealthy for me. So I think I'm retired, but I'm always going to be obsessed with it. I'm super excited about Blood versus Water.
Yeah. Well, and more on that to come very, very soon. But let me just ask you, as far as being inducted into the Survivor Winners Club, I'm always curious about this. Have the other winners welcomed you with welcome arms to the group of winners? Like, I always imagine it's a very esteemed club. Everybody's standing around smoking cigars. Have all the winners been welcoming to you?
I haven't heard from all of them. Certainly some actually have reached out to me. There wasn't some formal thing. Like, I've heard rumblings about some, like, kind of formal, like, you know, you get, like, a letter or something. I haven't gotten anything like that. I have heard, you know, very kind things from a collection of winners, including people like, Danny Bowright, who I've never even spoken to, reaches out to me, and people that I had never thought I would ever get to talk to. It's cool. And it's still bizarre to think of myself as a member of that group. Although I'm a member of that group that had to play multiple times to win. Like, I always look kind of for a qualification for why I don't deserve to. But, you know, then by the same token, Rob shouldn't be there. He should be there less than any of the rest of us. There was nothing formal. But I have heard from some people, even Parvati, the wonderful Parvati.
Yeah. Well, she's a wonderful winner and a wonderful ambassador.
you know, she's one of the best, and she's been nothing but nice. And, you know, everybody's been super nice. But I haven't heard from, yeah, I haven't heard from, like, Tina or, no, I, you know, I don't speculate about anything.
Yeah. Maybe she's busy, Cochran. You ever think of that? Maybe she has something going on.
Yeah. That's possible. I didn't think of that. People have lives. I don't know.
Yeah.
This has just been such a whirlwind of, like, 4 weeks for me that I haven't even fully... I only realized recently that I'm, like, just as vulnerable to everybody else to people knowing when I've read their Facebook messages. But I didn't, for some reason, I thought, like, nobody can see that I've read their Facebook messages and not replied.
Yeah.
And now people are like, what? Now I'm realizing that they can see that, and I pissed off a lot of people because I get too tired and too lazy to reply.
Well, I'm sure.
That's what has nothing to do with your question.
Well, I'm sure you've been inundated. I mean, since you've won, have you had some contact? Every single person you've ever met in your entire life, I'm sure, has contacted you, right?
I've gotten a lot of people from, like, high school that I wasn't necessarily that close with. People from college, but I didn't have very many friends in college. I lived like a hermit. And some way, like, they're all reaching out to me. The few people I was kind of friendly with. So it is a weird, overwhelming thing. And then, like, I still haven't come back down to earth, I don't think. But yeah, a lot of people reaching out to me.
Okay. And Olivia Stolzen wants to know, what is the next step in your global domination?
Wait, Olivia, wait, I think I know who Olivia is. Hang on.
What's the next step in my global domination? Yes, on Twitter.
At what muffin?
Klutz muffin.
Fluff muffin?
Klutz, C-L-U-T-Z.
Klutz muffin?
Yes.
I'm going to look this up now because now you're facilitating this. Let me see if this is the person I thought it was. Olivia was the name? I clearly didn't type it in correctly. Forget it. I'll look it up later. What's my next step to global domination? I guess dominating the Nielsen ratings on the Millers.
Yeah. And how is everything going working on the Millers? You guys are at work already, getting ready for September?
Yeah. I mean, it's right now it's pre-production. It's sitting in the writer's room. There's 10 of us sitting in there coming up with ideas for shows. I think like 7 weeks from now, that's when production starts, and that'll be crazy because that's when like table readings happen and the actors come in. But it's crazy. I mean, it's being in a room with like really smart, funny people who are saying smart, funny things spontaneously. I'm nowhere near as smart or funny as the rest of the people in that room, but I'm hoping to learn the craft quickly and get up to snuff.
Has anybody on the team given everybody nicknames yet?
No, but there is definitely a lot of razzing about my Survivor stuff. Some people do call me Cochran in there, which is a little bit bizarre. But no nicknames. Maybe I can institute that. I'll lead the third iteration of Spellfire up. I'll keep my nickname.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's very, very exciting. And if for some reason if somebody doesn't know exactly what the Millers is, do you want to give a quick pitch of the show you're working on?
Sure, yeah. So first off, it's going to be on CBS this fall, Thursday nights at 8:30, right after The Big Bang Theory.
Great time slot. Yeah.
Yeah, and the show stars Will Arnett, who's a recently divorced man whose divorce actually inspires his own parents, played by Margot Martindale and Beau Bridges, to get a divorce as well. Now, here's where things get funny. All right. His parents get a divorce, and Bo, the father, whose character's name is Tom, moves back in with Will Arnett's sister, whereas the mother, Margot Martindale, named Carol, moves back in with Will Arnett. You can imagine how horrible it is. You're a recently divorced guy in his early 40s. Your overbearing mother moves back in with you. Or if you're, the sister having a kind of klutzy father move in with you. It's a recipe for a lot of hilarity and, probably some touching moments, too. But it's going to be a really good show. The cast is seriously unbelievable. You also have J.B. Smoove from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He's always funny.
Unbelievably funny. Yeah. So it's going to be good. And it's created by a guy, Greg Garcia, who made My Name is Earl and Raising Hope. And he's like a, brilliant guy. So high hopes for the show. Regardless of whether or not I'm involved, I think it's going to be really funny.
Can I pitch you a story real quick for the show?
Absolutely. I seriously need these things.
Okay, take this with you.
You
can use this at work tomorrow, okay? So how about this? So they wake up one morning, and Margot Martindale, she loses her fake teeth, okay? And she's looking all around. She's so upset. She's like, oh, my God, I can't find my teeth. And so Will Arnett has to go look all over the house and find the teeth. Finally, he finds the teeth. But then they end up getting into a whole big fight, and then Margot Martindale quits Twitter.
That sounds like a really good idea. Yeah. Who emerged the more beloved personality between the two of them? My sympathies lie with Margot Martindale in this case. But do you think that people are going to prefer Will Arnett? That Will Arnett might be like the second most beloved cast member after this ordeal?
I don't know. I just see if you could work that in there. That could be a good one. A good
cross
promotion. All right, Cochran, thank you so much. Congratulations on everything, including Reality Game Masters. And we look
thank
forward
you.
To over the summer reading what you have to say about Big Brother on entertainmentweekly.com.
For sure, and I'd love to when you're doing the Blood versus Water podcast, I would love to talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. All right, Cochran. Take care. Have a good one. All right, everybody. There you have it. The winner of Reality Game Masters, as well as the winner of Survivor Karamoan, Mr. John Cochran. So great of Cochran to come on with us. And again, we'll try to talk with Stephen and Sophie sometime in the next week or two to get their take on Reality Game Masters, because they were so great during the show. I'm sure they will have a lot to say as well about their games respectively once again. So Big Brother 15 right around the corner. I told you at the top of the show, we've got a Big Brother preview that we're going to record on Friday night, and I've got a lot of work to do here this weekend as I'm getting ready to send out all of the Big Brother live feed bingo cards. So if you've sent me your email address, don't worry, I have it. I'm trying to wait as late as possible to send it, so I'm going to get them all in the mail for Saturday. That way you guys should all have them by the time the show starts on Wednesday night. Looking forward to getting all of the printing and folding and everything that goes into Big Brother Live Feed Bingo. And if you have not gotten your Big Brother 15 live feeds yet, one, it's only going to be on pre-sale at 20% off until Tuesday. That's the day before the show starts. And two, you don't want to miss out on a chance to play Big Brother Live Feed Bingo and win $250 from Rob Has a Podcast by watching the live feeds and crossing things off your bingo card. Be the first person to get five in a row, vertically, horizontally, or diagonally, and you could win $250 courtesy of Rob Has a Podcast watching Big Brother Live Feeds. All right, so I'll be back with Brian Lynch on Friday to preview Big Brother 15. Have a great weekend, everybody, and congratulations to John Cochran, winner of Reality Game Masters. Take care, everybody. Bye.